Welcome to another episode of Cybeers. Today, joined by Richard Granger, Global Head of Digital Forensics. Welcome.
Thank you for having me yet again.
Yet again. I think you're just you're a
just
mainstay.
A statue now. Yep.
Yeah, you're a statue, a talking statue. And Craig Martin, Incident Response Manager. Welcome.
Thank you.
What have you got today, Craig? What have you got for us?
I don't mind the Bellarine beers. I've got another
one
down
there. Prickly Moses. I love those.
Prickly Moses.
Fantastic brewery.
I've gone the Mango Guava Sour.
You're on the sour?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a bit chilly out there today. I'm not sure if you've been a bit brave going on the sours. But cheers. And Richard.
So you may remember from the last episode of Side Beers, I went a ginger beer.
Yeah.
This time back on the gin. So.
I don't think you need to review that one. We've shared many of those.
The aviation gin, normally when you think of like celebrity alcohol and all that, you're not.
Yeah, that's a Ryan Reynolds, isn't it?
It is Ryan Reynolds. Mm. But this one's actually really good. I'm a fan of it. You can sponsor us, Ryan, just saying. But otherwise,
we'll take some Wrexham box seats.
Yeah, we'll continue to purchase because it is actually a really good gin as well.
Yeah, well, he's just sold. I think he sold it, hasn't he?
Not sure.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he's...
As long as they don't change the recipe, that's fine.
Oh, they always do once they sell out. And you guys sorted me out with a beer and you went me the Metamorphosis Indian Pale Ale. Always been a big fan. Metamorphosis based down in Dandenong. Not really sure how the IPA is going to go. There's some stuff I need to do this afternoon. A 6.7% beer. But it's always going to make Cybeers a tad more interesting than
it is the time of year to be festive, Nick.
Oh, it is. Yes. It's coming into the Christmas party season, and I think I'm up to about 11 Christmas parties that I need to attend. So, yeah, I'm back in the gym and making sure I'm ready for it. So, cheers, Rich.
Cheers.
And a double cheers for Craig.
Cheers.
Yeah, that's big. That's a lot for a Friday afternoon. But I'll enjoy it anyway, just maybe a little bit slowly. But if you're an IPA fan, it is very heavy. It's very hoppy, quite big, but not too fruity. So I'm glad you chose that one. Thanks, guys. Rich, I don't think we need an introduction to the aviation
good,
gin.
Good stuff. Yeah. Recommend.
You just recommend any gin and tonic you can possibly get your hands onto.
Mostly true.
Most.
Yeah,
we had some bad ones across the time. Yeah. So we're going to have to put some gin and tonic recipes with garnishes together and publish it on the website.
Little Cybeers kit.
Well, maybe we put it into Cyber Wonderland and a little secret.
Yeah, just at the bottom of some blog about ransomware. Just said, well, here's a gin tonic recipe for next time you're dealing with ransomware.
Well, I remember you got angry at me one time. I was around your house and I was just free pouring my gin and tonic and I got shouted at because there's a specific recipe and then there's garnishes that you add.
Yeah, you can pair like everything.
Yeah. And Craig, the prickly Moses. I love it.
Look, I'm vibing the summer.
Yeah.
So, you know, this is going to be coming out around about Christmas time. Going to be nice and warm. Mm. Nothing better than this.
Absolutely.
Hopefully it's warm.
Well, cheers, gentlemen. Cheers. We're talking about exactly that, and that's Happy Hackmas. So, Rich, why Hackmas? What's the go? Normally, everyone's happy Christmas, Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays. Yep. But how's this Happy Hackmas? Why?
So, I think there's probably some memes that are already out about this.
Yeah.
But generally, like around Christmas, everyone's winding down. Everyone's looking forward to the holiday break. And there's always going to be some kind of vulnerability that comes out, you know, just before Christmas. That kind of ruins.
Shell.
Yeah, Log4Shell was a big one.
Even Log4j was Log4j around now? Was that a bit earlier in the year?
So I think it was...
That was a December thing as
it
well.
It was December because I actually remember I was on the train home after our Christmas party. Quite merry. and got a call from one of our clients who like one of their servers was vulnerable to it. And that's another story for another time, but... Yeah, so that...
Fortunately, now we've got the team in the UK and Canada, so we're covered from that perspective.
Definitely around Christmas time. but yeah, it seems like every year there's just some big vulnerability that comes out, which obviously needs to be dealt with or remediated, and you know, it can impact people's plans for the festive period.
Certainly does. And then Craig, what do we see across that period where I always lose track, right? So I always say, and I say it to friends, that there's Christmas Day and there's Boxing Day, there's Wine and Cheese Week, and then there's New Year's Eve. But that's just the time you wake up, you look, and you go, what day is it? Oh, it's fun. I can drink red wine today. And then the cheese comes out, you forget to eat dinner, and you go to bed. And the next day, you just do everything over again. So what happens during Wine and Cheese Week?
I think you've just described it, to be perfectly honest.
Lots of wine, lots of cheese.
But it's the time of year, and probably massive risk this year, with businesses starting to shut down over Christmas. Everyone's still dealing with the COVID annual leave bubble.
Yeah.
And they're starting to send people off for Christmas. And, you know, no eyes on glass. You need a break. Mm. Everyone needs a break. Need to relax. Unfortunately, what that means is the people that are looking after the environment and monitoring the alerts are going to be knee-deep in wine and cheese.
Yeah.
And while the cat's away, so to speak, there's going to be threat actors in your environment.
Are you calling threat actors mice?
Yeah. The mice will play.
Mice with big appetites, right?
Yes.
And they know this, don't they, Rich? The threat actors, and it's not just the Russian-based threat actors. Mm. It's the Chinese-based and the North Korean-based, the Iranian-based, and all of them. They
the
know.
Nigerians, to be
the
fair.
The Nigerians, sorry, but let's not forget them. But they know this, don't they? They know that we go and take the wine and cheese week off. And I think the worst part is this year, normally you'd be going back on that first Monday, which is the 2nd of January. Mm. Most companies are pushing out to the 8th. Mm. So now we're taking this year, the 22nd of December till the 8th of January.
Okay.
That's a big, long period. So what are they doing during this time frame?
So we, sort of over the last few years, one of the things that we do and try and find out wherever it's available is basically initial access into environments. When did it actually happen? When did they get their first foothold on that first machine in the network? And we actually find that a lot of the time, you know, it is, especially for ransomware engagements that we sort of have early on in the year, is there is a lot of activity in environments over that Christmas break leading into the new year as well, getting that initial foothold.
Well, I think we've got actual evidence, don't we, of a compromised version of Photoshop.
An incident where essentially access into the environment, a lot of people would use their own machines from home to access RDP gateway to get into the environment. And we were doing the ransomware response a couple of weeks after Christmas, and we tracked down the initial username that was used to get into the environment. And we're sort of like, how did they get this? Like, we couldn't find it in any of our dark web searches to indicate it being compromised directly. So we sort of spoke to the organization and said, we know it's this account that they got in. You know, we know that people use their BYOD devices to get into the network through the RDP gateway. Do you think they would let us do a forensic analysis of it? And they spoke to the user and they're like, yeah, that's fine. Anything to help, you know, figure out what happened. So we got the laptop, did the analysis, and found out that unfortunately on Christmas
24th Eve, of December, yeah, 24th, Christmas Eve.
24th of December, they downloaded a, we'll just say a dodgy version of Photoshop.
Or a photo editing piece of software.
Yeah. Generic photo editing software from, you know, one of these dodgy sites. And contained in it was some Redline malware. We've got a blog on Redline malware if you're not sort of familiar with what it is. But essentially that allowed them to steal the credentials that were saved in Google Chrome and then get those plain text username and passwords. They knew the address for the RDP gateway. They're able to log in and get that initial foothold into the environment.
And then they logged in pretty early, didn't they? Pretty early late in December. And then we're in there across that period where everyone's off. And if no one's looking at the environment, then they've just got all of that time
yep.
to spend in the network and find out what's there and get the sensitive data and launch the ransomware. So, Craig, Threat Actor gets in. Rich has just talked about that initial access of getting access. Why do we see so much initial access happening across that period, the wine and cheese week?
So there's a couple of things going on there. First one being no one's watching. And this is well known among the areas that are trying to compromise companies in Australia.
Mm.
The people aren't working. They're off having barbecues.
Yep.
So it's a great time if you've got access into environment, if you've got passwords or if you've got a web shell sitting in there, go bang, because no one's going to respond. The other thing that we're really worried about this year is we've seen a lot of zero-day initial access exploitation.
Stop. You're giving me PTSD.
Have we got a word for this? Is it zero-day farming or what's it called?
I hate our security research team. Yes, that's what we're calling it. Love them, but hey, they caused me no issue, and I love them for it. But they sent me a list of 283 compromised organizations around the world that I had to go and contact.
Yeah.
So, I love them, but gosh, that was no fun.
So what that means is there's been a couple of really big vulnerabilities this year.
What are we talking? The Citrix NetScalers, the Cisco iOS devices at the moment. There's bound to be another one that's going to pop up.
Had some like print.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Papercut.
Which we saw a lot of exploitation of, but
we'll see another one before the year's out.
You know, we're in business the last few years. Everyone's been on about AI and automation. Mm. It's in vogue. What's in vogue for us is also now in vogue for threat actors. And what they're getting is they're seeing these vulnerabilities before they can be patched, before organizations know about them. Let's go and scan the entire internet and see, okay, how many of these vulnerable servers can we find
and it's not
an exploit and put in a queue?
But it's not just them, right? And this is the thing. They're buying these vulnerabilities. There's actually organizations out there, criminal organizations, that are pulling these devices and everything apart the same way the security research team for, say, Citrix is continually testing. There's these illegitimate groups that are pulling these same devices apart to find vulnerabilities earlier.
Yeah.
Then they'll find it. They'll then sell it onto these threat actor groups who might have access to this vulnerability for months.
Yeah.
Right. And everyone says, we patched that. How come there's a web shell on there already?
Mm.
And it's because these groups have found these issues. They already know about it. They've gone and exploited it, dropped a web shell so they can come back at a later stage.
I mean, sort of looking at the Papercut one fairly recently as well. And that, like, I think it was Sophos or Trend, one of the sort of security firms notified Papercut themselves like mid-March saying, hey, like, there's this vulnerability. And like, they made zero-day initiative IDs for it, but it wasn't a CVE yet. No patch was there. And that came out in sort of April. And threat actors were like abusing it before a patch was even available.
Because they knew about it well and truly early, right? Yeah. So just drop a web shell and this is what they do. And this is the big thing we see across Wine and Cheese Week. I'm coining that. I'm getting that on a t-shirt. Watch out for Wine and Cheese Week. They know about these vulnerabilities because they've either bought it or found it themselves. And then they'll just go and dump these web shells to come back later. They're not worried about, okay, we'll get the access. Now we'll go and traverse the network and we'll find out what's there. We'll take the data, we'll launch the ransomware. No, they just go and launch thousands upon thousands of web shells and they'll leave it sitting there and they'll come back later.
Yeah.
And we've got evidence of this, don't we?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And from the Conti leak logs, we've seen it, that these threat actor groups, or the bigger ones, the smaller ones not necessarily, but the bigger ones will act just like an IT team, where they've got level one who are going to do the initial access, level two and level three. Now, what do level two and three do?
Well, they're sort of going to be the more skilled operators to basically take advantage of whatever's been dropped by perhaps level one. You know, they're running that script to plant those web shields initially, and then, you know, level two or three are going to be, all right, let's get that initial access. Let's get some credentials. Let's move laterally. Let's identify some, you know, juicy data that we want to exfil, and then, you know, finally to deploy that ransomware. Mm. That's their objective.
So your level one's Hackmas, right? Yeah. The level one team are just sitting there scanning Shodan, and we've talked about Shodan to death. Please don't go and use Shodan for nefarious activities. Hashtag caveat, we've said it every time. But they're using Shodan and other tools, aren't they, Craig, to go and search for all these vulnerable systems across that break, and they're just exploiting as many as they can.
Yeah, absolutely.
Even the initial access brokers as well. Like, you know, we talked about Redline malware before.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you get a whole bunch of those. Nice juicy creds, sell them on to a ransomware group.
Hashtag MFA.
In an ideal world, yes. MFA would be on there to combat this exact scenario. But
and if you've never heard of MFA, go back and watch the cybers that Jack and I did when we were in LA and was released a couple of weeks back. So, Craig, okay, tell me, one of Cheese Week. Everyone's offline. Well, not everyone. A lot of organizations are running skeleton crews, right? But you're sitting there, you've got these systems, everything's offline. How are you going to know if ransomware has hit your network? Because most clients that call us say, Bob tried to log in and couldn't, so we think there's an issue. How are they going to know that they've been ransomware?
So the main thing is, it's a lot of the systems are important enough to monitor 24/7 for the rest of the year.
Yep.
It's actually twice as important to have people monitoring your environment during that Christmas break, because we know companies that are vulnerable will be attacked.
Mm.
And we know based on experience, most companies don't know they're vulnerable.
Mm.
So you need to go in with a bit of a risk-averse approach. Say, well, we have these monitoring tools, or we're going to be getting these alerts, and we need to make sure people are there focusing on the cheese, not the wine, so they can pick up on these alerts.
Who focuses on the wine and the cheese and not the wine? Please. Hey. Actually, the cheese is important. Some good Tassie brie with a nice cab sav. I'm already looking forward to it. But all right, I trust my MSP. Been with my MSP for 30 years, and I love it. And they're fantastic. They're doing everything that I need to do. And they're monitoring my systems, though, across Wine and Cheese Week.
Well, the one other thing that we're seeing, and this is not just across Christmas, but...
Hackmas.
Not just across Hackmas, but you don't necessarily know, when you're trusting these companies, you don't know what their blind spots are and what they might not be doing.
So we're talking here, though, in all seriousness. This has been a pretty fun 5 years. I love this one. But in all seriousness, we're talking about MSPs who probably have two people looking at this stuff.
The one-man MSP is the common hashtag, right?
Right. No, they say we're monitoring your things, we're looking at the alerts. But in all honesty, the alerts are going into an email queue system. Someone looks at it when they're online. They're online Monday to Friday, 9 to 5.
Yeah.
Right. What happens Christmas Day when you're out with the family having a great time? Alert pops up. Oh, no, that can wait.
She'll be right.
She'll be right. Well, best Australian adage.
Especially this is the Christmas Day thing, right? So people may say, oh, that can wait till tomorrow.
Mm.
We're seeing attacks start to end in under 12 hours.
Mm. Christmas Day is a great time for them to do it. Boxing Day is better because you're not even sitting at the Christmas table.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
You're down the beach, you're playing beach cricket with the family, don't have your phone on you. Like, that's the best time. Yeah. And then 2 a.m. New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
Right? 1 a.m., like 12:30.
Yeah.
Prime time.
Yeah. So if anybody is worried about the visibility of the alerts coming through from the MSP, or they're thinking about, well, in the new year, might look at getting a managed security service provider to come in and provide a monitoring service for it.
MSSP, you've got to throw that additional S in there.
if you're thinking about it for the new year, think about it now.
You're already if you're thinking about it for January, yeah. It's already too late.
It's not a quick process. I mean, just ignoring like commercial side of it, deployment. You got to get tools out there to get true visibility. Mm. You need to spend time on.
Unfortunately, tools. In DFIR, digital forensics incident response, through November, we've been working with customers that were planning to look at getting a monitoring service next year.
Yeah.
And they've been hit already.
Mm. We've heard that twice now, didn't we?
Yeah.
We were going to talk to you in January.
Yeah.
My favorite story is still the one who we had the meeting on the Monday, the commercial team, to sort everything out, to go through the process. They went through, we gave them a proposal. They had to go and get three quotes, and it took them 2 months to get the quotes because the other two providers couldn't turn it around very quickly. And we had the meeting on the Monday. We were the first ones, everyone coming in to do a presentation and to do a run through. We got the phone call at 4 a.m. on the Saturday morning. You were on that one.
I remember that one very clearly.
Yeah. 4 a.m. on the Saturday morning. We've been hit. Yeah. And that was probably one of the bigger ones that we've done. I think it was, it wasn't a Conti. But it was a Lockbit.
Yeah,
it was one of the first, one of the last Lockbit 2.0s.
That's right. Yeah.
Actually, so
the rebrand.
I hate when we come across Lockbit 3.0. Mm. That's even worse. So, look, if you're thinking about these things, you never want to go to the board and say, "We've been hit, but we had these proposals sitting there for 2 months that we were going through the process." Mm. Look, if a managed security services provider is taking you 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks to get your proposal, imagine what their response is going to be like. That's the thing that I always say.
Yeah.
And if you're thinking your two-person MSP, even your 10-person MSP, IT provider, if you think they're looking at your logs Christmas Day, Boxing Day, New Year's Eve, New Year's Day, they ain't.
Even overnight, like that's, I've said all the time, but you know, every single engagement that we do, you know, especially for ransomware, like, and that's been attributed to, you know, Eastern European based threat actors, is there's going to be activity 11 p.m. at night, 2 a.m. at night, really late. So if you are, you know, I'm content on having an MSP monitoring those logs, do they have an on-call system, mm. or do they actually have someone physically, you know, watching these things overnight as well? Because that is prime time for threat actors in Australian-based environments. Yeah. Just due to where we're based in the world.
Who's looking at it 2 a.m. on a Tuesday?
And it should be sticking out like a sore thumb because we've got people that aren't working.
Mm.
We've got change freezes happening across Australia. Yeah. We've got a lot of environments where nothing is going to be going on. So any activity should be suspicious. But unfortunately, no one's looking at it.
But this is why, if you're confident in your MSSP or MDR, EDR with monitoring, XDR, SOC in a box. I'm trying to think of all the acronyms. If you're comfortable with this, do a red team exercise.
100%.
Don't do it during Australian business hours. Mm. We've got a team in Belgium for this exact reason. We say, right, we don't want you to run it during Australian business hours. We want you to run this outside of hours to test what the response is like.
Yeah.
If you feel you are comfortable with your MSSP, spend 20 grand. Spend the money to go and test it. Trust, but verify. That's always the key for me.
Yeah.
Gents, we could, as always, talk about this, especially after a few beers. This is the pub chats that I love to have. We choose to record them. But Rich, I'm going to throw to you. Any final wise words for Happy Hackmas?
I think maybe before we wrap up for Christmas break, check to see what your external perimeter looks like. Understand what's internet facing. Understand if it's patched, up to date. Just sort of make yourself a less easier target for a threat actor to get in.
External attack surface management. I think they're the four key letters of this year, actually. And we've got our annual state of cyber that is due for release. quite soon, and that will feature in there quite heavily. Yep. So EASM, it was attack surface management for a while. We had to throw the external in there because the internal's a bit far too big.
Yeah.
Craig, wise words for Happy Hackmas.
You've gone the four key letters. I'll go and raise you two backups.
Backups.
Especially, you know, for the smaller operations, you know, that are planning to still, they might still be working or they might still be retailing. Take a backup before you go to Christmas, unplug it, leave it somewhere completely unattached to anything. Take a backup now, just in case. We can say, and we'll try and help or educate as much as possible on how to prepare and how to prevent. Unfortunately, accidents happen. You need to be right 100% of the time. A threat actor needs to get lucky once. And they're getting lucky a lot. They are unfortunately getting lucky a lot. So if you can just do
Going on a t-shirt, threat actors get lucky a lot.
But if you can do something to prepare or just that little bit of conscience in the back of your mind is peace of mind, knowing I've got a backup, I've got something. I couldn't recommend that enough.
Wonderful. And look, mine is, if you're thinking about it now, it's already too late. Gents, happy Hackmas.
Happy Hackmas.
Happy Hackmas.